It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Conner. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, whether you're there for the no-fee ATM, the cheap baked goods, or the clean bathrooms, many of us have made a stop in Quick Trip. We'll talk about how it's become one of the fastest-growing convenience store chains in the nation next.
First, despite a topsy-turvy stock market lately, there are signs that the economy is maintaining some strong momentum as we start a new year.
Just this morning, the Labor Department said U.S. workers added 312,000 jobs in December. The Wall Street Journal had been predicting about 176,000. That's the biggest jump since February.
In addition, hourly earnings are up 3.2% from December 2017, the biggest full-year gain in a decade.
The positive economic news is being credited with a surge in the stock market today. That uptick follows the worst December since 1931 and the worst calendar year since 2008.
So what's going on? Josh Zumbrun is a national economics correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. Josh, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's talk about this jobs report. First of all, big picture looks like pretty good news, right?
Yeah, I mean, for the U.S. worker, you know, workers generally, we're still in a pretty good environment. There's been a lot of concern in the stock market, obviously, but it's been focused very extensively on what's happening internationally. You know, China's economy has been slowing down. Europe's economy has looked a little rocky. And so that's bad for companies that have big international operations. But here in the United States, the job market has continued to be pretty solid. And we saw that again in this morning's jobs report, which looked at kind of the full year of 2018, the final month, the December jobs report.
And we saw this big increase in December in jobs, 300 plus thousand, but the unemployment rate went up a little, which seems weird, but that's actually maybe more good news. More people are saying, yeah, I'm going to get back into the job market that month.
Yeah, one of the interesting trends we've seen over the past kind of 4 or 5 years is that there's been a lot of people who, you know, the unemployment rate is only defined as people who are actively looking for work and can't find it. That's the kind of official definition of unemployment. There's a lot of people who don't have jobs but aren't looking. You know, retired people are obviously the biggest category of that, but there's also students and there's also people who are maybe on disability or people who are stay-at-home parents. And what's happened is that as the economy has gotten better, more and more of those people have kind of said, you know what, I think I am going to get back in the job market. I'm going to look for a job. And so they, you know, maybe they're briefly unemployed and they find a job. So there's been more of that in recent years. And that could have been one of the things that was going on in December, that we're just seeing more people who had been kind of outside of the labor force deciding to get back into it.
You wrote a piece putting these new numbers in perspective for the last bunch of years, going back to around the Great Recession and I think just before that, and looking at bigger graphs, you know, the labor force participation rate going up, but it has not really recovered, right, since the Great Recession. A lot more people are sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, that's right. And two things have kind of happened over that period. I mean, one is that the economy was pretty bad for a really long time. And so a lot of people, you know, they gave up one way or the other. They decided they were going to be, they were going to, you know, leave the job market and take care of family, or they decided they were going to, you know, things weren't working out, they were going to get on Social Security or get on disability, and they've stayed out. And the other thing that's happened over that time period is just the timing of the baby boomer generation. You know, 1946, World War II ends, and that's when this huge surge of the population is born. And over the past kind of 8-10 years, those people have started to hit retirement age. They've started to hit that age where they can get full Social Security. And so there's been a lot of people coming out of the overall labor force because of that. So you add those two trends together, and you've had a huge kind of downward drift in the share of the U.S. population that's trying to work. And so we're slowly seeing that reverse, but we're nowhere near what it looked like 10 years ago, or you know, at the turn of the century was when those numbers were kind of at their peak. And because of demographics, because of that aging of the baby boomer generation and more of them retiring, we're probably not going to get back to those kinds of levels that we saw around the year 2000.
Now, through the recovery from the Great Recession, slow and steady gains in employment, unemployment rate going down. But one of the big questions has been, when are wages going to start going up? Have we seen movement in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, it's been slower than most people would have expected. Typically, when the unemployment rate is really low, you see better wage gains than we're seeing now. We are seeing it pick up. The wages increased about 3.2% over the past year. And I think, like you said in the intro, that's like the strongest year-end reading that we've seen in 11 or 12 years or something like that. So we are seeing things start to pick up. But if you look at the late 90s and even the mid-2000s, you would see periods you would see periods where the unemployment rate was maybe even a little higher than this, but wage gains were going at like 4% a year. And we're not getting back to that kind of environment with wages for some reason. And that's one of the big kind of mysteries that economists debate right now, is why are the wage gains a little weak, considering how low the unemployment rate is.
Josh Zumbrun is with us from the Wall Street Journal, looking at today's jobs report, putting those numbers into context, and looking at the economy as a whole. Josh, last month, the big economic story was this dip in the stock market, this rocky up and down. We've seen a jump, I think, 700-some points today. Now, the stock market is not the economy. I get that. But how can that kind of volatility on the stock market end up hurting jobs, hurting people who, even if they're not involved directly in the stock market?
There's a couple of different ways. I mean, one is just that people who have they have big investment portfolios, they see the big losses, they're just a little bit less confident about things. You know, maybe they're retired and they spend some of the money out of the earnings of their investment portfolio, and you know, suddenly that picture isn't looking as good, so they spend a little bit less, their confidence a little bit lower. So it can kind of hurt consumer spending in that way. You know, it can also be the case that companies see their stock prices go down and decide they have to, you know, they think they have to take action. They think they have to lay some people off or fix some lines of business. And so you can see those kinds of effects happen over time. I mean, clearly we didn't see that last month, but that's the kind of thing you typically see in these sort of cycles where there's a weak stock market, is eventually you start to see companies react. And then the third thing is that, you know, the international picture really has been pretty troubling. So a lot of businesses don't really do anything overseas. You think about healthcare, you think about education, you're talking about primarily U.S. businesses. But for, you know, factory workers who work for businesses that export internationally, that starts to be something that's really tough. And so, you know, it's great that the U.S. job market is doing pretty well, but if your overseas customers disappear, that can be pretty bad for a business that exports. And that's clearly one of the things that's been motivating the stock market. So, you know, there's a lot of factors there where you can see the negative market over time really start to weigh on the job market. But, you know, this report really showed, one of the reasons people are so heartened by it is this report showed that we're not seeing those kinds of effects really hit yet.
And one more big open question we'll be watching in 2019 is Jerome Powell, the Fed chairman, and what he does, what he and the Federal Reserve do when it comes to interest rates. They've bumped them up a few times lately. Looking long term, they're like ridiculously low still, right, by historical comparison. Are his hands tied in his ability to raise those rates to a more normal level?
Well, I think the main way his hands are tied is that he doesn't want to be responsible for, you know, choking off the economy. I mean, the goal that the Fed has always expressed is to kind of get to a more normal sort of environment, and their hope has always been you could get interest rates back to something that looked a little bit more like the interest rates we saw 12 years ago, and that you could do that without knocking the economy into a new recession. And, you know, one of the things we've seen over the past year is that as the Fed has raised rates, investors have gotten really nervous about that. There's a lot of people who are concerned that the Fed is going too far, that they're, you know, even though rates are still low on an absolute level, that even these small increases are creating problems. You see signs of that in the housing market, for example. People got so used to kind of 3.5% and 4% interest rates that once mortgage rates started to go up to 4.5% or 5%, people were like, oh, I don't know if I want to buy as much house anymore. And so, you know, so you've seen some housing markets have slowed down as a result of that. So there is reason to think that these higher rates do have an impact already. And so that's kind of the area in which he's boxed in a little bit. He would like to get rates more normal, but, you know, people got used to those really low rates, and now, even though a 4.5 or 5% mortgage, I mean, you think back 10 years ago and somebody said, or 20 years ago and somebody said, oh, you can have a 5% 30-year mortgage, you would have said, great. But, you know, if you've been in the housing market 5 years ago and someone told you that, you'd say, oh, what a bummer. So there's that shift in perspective that really kind of boxes him in a little bit.
As we wrap up, Josh, what's the next big piece of data, the next big story you're watching for now?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is that the government is still shut down here in Washington, D.C., and these are government reports. So traditionally, some of the next big economic reports we'd be looking for would be, you know, there should have been an international trade report next Tuesday. There should have been a retail sales report next week. There should have been an overall report on the size of the economy for the fourth quarter. That should have been coming up later this month. For now, none of those reports, the department that puts those reports, is completely shut down. So none of those reports are coming. And so we're in a little bit, kind of the main thing we're watching is whether or not that government gets reopened so we get those reports. I mean, we're in a situation where if the government doesn't reopen, we're going to be missing a lot of the data that we usually use to interpret how the economy is doing. And I think it'll make a lot of people, you know, a little uneasy not to know what's going on, because this is clearly a little bit of an uncertain time.
Josh, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Josh Zumbrun is a national economics correspondent at the Wall Street Journal. We talked to them about the better-than-expected December jobs report and the state of the economy as a whole.